He said no, you need to go down. He said no, no need to go down. Rock that, run that, this how we frown. He said no, you need to go down. He said no, no need to go down. Rock that, run that, this how we frown.
Another edition of Bunny and the Braun. I'm your co-host, Jay Braun. What's going on, Bunny?
Hey, Jay Braun. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing great, thank you. I'm really excited about this show tonight, especially as a parent. I think that we're going to be bringing a lot of information to people that they probably haven't heard and getting some great tips for other parents out there to help keep their children safe, and that's always a good thing.
Yes, indeed it is. So how have you been doing? How was your week?
My week was good. It seems like it just flies by. Every time I talk to you, I can't believe 7 days went by again. It's just, I don't know. I think it might be a once you hit your 40s thing. I don't know. I want to give a shout-out to our lead sponsor for this show. This show topic really tugs her specific heartstrings because she is a survivor of dating violence. And it's Dollface McGee, and she's way out on the West Coast, out in Seattle, and she is a plus-size pinup model. She's nationally published, philanthropic. She's a model and makeup artist, photographer, graphic designer. She was in Atlanta for a little while. That's how I knew her. We actually did a shoot together once, and it was fantastic. But she has turned everything negative that's happened in her life around into a way where she's a thriver now. So Dollface McGee, pinup model, Seattle, thank you so much for your contribution. We appreciate you.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Bunny, tell everybody what's going on with today's show and what we're going to get into, as well as our guest host.
I'm very excited to say that our guest host is actually an expert on this subject. We're going to be talking about Teen Dating Violence Awareness. This is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, the month of February. And Jennifer Reese Polson is going to be on after our first break to talk about her experiences, not only herself, but with girls, and give us advice as parents, things to look for, things we can do to make sure we keep our children safe. We'll be able to ask questions. I personally have some. Because I have a 13-and-a-half-year-old boy, you may have one or two yourself, Braun, being that your daughter's in that age range as well. I'm hoping
Absolutely.
That we have some either write-ins or callers. I know we have a good amount of people that are going to want to be listening to this show tonight. There was quite a little buzz about it because a lot of the people in our friend circles also have preteen and teenage daughters, and the highest number of the abused is just by nature female. But you know how I am. I like to start off with some statistics, going over the issue itself and why it needs some more attention. The first thing that I read when I got into diving into this was that only 81% of parents don't even believe that teen dating violence is an issue. That blew my mind just because there's so much out there about domestic violence. And, of course, if domestic violence is so prevalent, why wouldn't teen dating violence be prevalent as well? So one of the things I also noticed that was very staggering was almost 25% of women that are abused between 11 and 17 years of age by their partners are actually raped, stalked, or have some form of physical violence against them in their adult years. So it definitely starts a pattern. Just to give the listeners a just a summary of what the different types of abuse are. This is not just sexual abuse. There's physical, you know, when the partner either punches, kicks, hits, is physically violent. Of course, there's the sexual abuse, which most people think of when you think teen dating violence. Then there's psychological and emotional. Unfortunately, a lot of children learn in their homes that are in domestic violence homes an inappropriate way to speak to a partner, and they carry that on into their young relationship. And, of course, stalking, and that's a pattern of harassing and threatening tactics. And what's really scary is it can take place in person or electronically. So it isn't even something that has to be face-to-face. It can be through texting. It can be through posting pictures. You know, there's such a thing going on right now where, you know, girls are looking for adoration the wrong way. You know, they're sending inappropriate photos to their young boyfriends. These young boyfriends then in turn will post them on social media. And they'll, where the girl was once feeling safe, she now is a victim. So there's a lot that goes on, and it's happening to 33% of teens. So one in three teenagers are subject to this form of abuse. Doesn't that number seem very high to you, Brian?
Oh, that's an alarming number, and I can't wait to have Jennifer on so she can get in more detail as far as the who, what, and where. I'm you know, having a 13-year-old daughter, I'm you know, this is that prime time where, you know, and with the advent of the, you know, social media and the internet, you know, she's a prime target. So I would really like to, you know, see what Jennifer has to say about that. That's going to be very intriguing.
No, I agree completely. Just some more numbers. Girls and young women between the ages of 16 and 24 actually experience the highest rate of intimate partner violence, which is triple the national average, and 94% of those age 16 to 19, it's happening by a current or former boyfriend that they have here in the high school years. As I continued looking through, though, it doesn't even stop there. That the highest risk is to women up to age 24, which is, of course, college. 43% of dating college women report experiencing some form of violent or abusive behavior from a partner. And the really upsetting part of it is even though they're older, you know, we still consider them young women because of our age, but right. They're in their early 20s, and 57% of them said that it's difficult to identify that it's abuse, and 58% of them said that they don't know how to help their friends if their friends are being abused. Mm-hmm. There's literally like this gridlock of nurturing and helpfulness that's there, so these girls don't know who to turn to.
Unbelievable.
It's staggering. It's absolutely staggering. And then one of the other things I read, like you said, 81% of parents believe that it's not an issue, and 82% of parents feel confident they could recognize the signs if their child was experiencing dating abuse. But research has shown that 58% of parents could not correctly identify all of the warning signs of abuse. So, and teenagers are there.
About the warning signs. I'm kind of interested what are the warning signs of what these young teens have to look out for. And you know, like you said, they don't even know what the signs are. They don't even know if their boyfriend or girlfriend is abusing them. They don't know. They think it's just common. Oh, okay, he's joking around, or he's trying to control me, but they don't know the signs, and that's something we definitely need to point out.
Absolutely, and you know, it's funny that you say it exactly how you said it, Ron, because where it all starts a lot of times is in the home, and mm-hmm. you know, in the future we will have a domestic abuse show, but I do want to touch on the fact that is where it starts. You know, more than 3 million mm-hmm. children are witnessing domestic abuse every year in their home. And those children, 30 to 60% of them, will become abused or abusers because that's what they're used to seeing. It's like, you know, I remember from my late husband told me, you know, when I tell you I love you, it means something different than when you tell you love me, because we were brought up differently. So our views of what love is are very different. We think we mean the same thing, but we don't. So if a boy is growing up in a home where it's normal for a man to speak down to his mate or to overpower her or to rule her through fear, he's going to think that that's normal. And if he's happening to be dating a female, you know, that young girl is watching something similar in her home, now you've got this cycle going on where, you know, that's just how they expect it to be. Now, I am going to say, you know, just to be a little personal, I actually grew up in a domestic abuse household. And from the time I was very young, I would say 6 years old, until I was 14, I watched my mother go through some very horrific and twice life-threatening situations. What that did to me, and this is just to put some hope out there that you can educate your children, even if you are, unfortunately, one of those abused women in this situation right now. When I had my first real boyfriend, I want to say I was 16 years old. I was at his house visiting with him and his parents, and we were in his room just hanging out, and I said something he didn't really like, and I can't remember it. I was 16, but he pushed me.
Wow.
And when he pushed me, it triggered this, you know, I had to make an immediate decision right then. Is this something? And I didn't realize back then that's what happened, but in my head it was, is this something that I'm going to allow? Because to me, this is something I grew up with. Or is this something that I'm going to make the decision that, no, I'm absolutely not going to tolerate? And I jumped on my little bike and I pedaled the 10 miles back to my house because
wow.
I made a decision even at that early age that that was something that was intolerable. And I do give that to my mom. As much as she feared leaving my stepfather, she always, always instilled that this is wrong. So while
right.
it was happening in my household, I never believed that it was normal. She, I don't know how she did it, but she managed to help me understand that this was wrong.
Right.
And maybe it was just because I was very close to her. But so there are, you know, there are situations where you grow up and you break the cycle. But the numbers, unfortunately, are very heavily skewed to patterns of abuse. I'm very excited to talk to Jen about what she has to say. And to find out, you know, I was, as I was digging, I saw some of the signs myself to look for.
Right.
But I want to talk real quick about technology too.
Okay.
They did a study, the Kaiser Family Foundation, of youths age 8 to 18. And I got to tell you, when did your daughter get her first cell phone?
I would say 9. Yeah, when she was 9.
Okay.
That's right.
My son got his at 12. And when I saw this, I'm wondering where schoolwork fits in, but it says ages 8 to 18 spend over 7 hours a day engaged in technological devices, from cell phones, tablets, laptops, TVs.
Mm-hmm.
That's mind-blowing to me. So basically, they get out of school and they're involved in something electronic and they go to bed.
Right.
The problem is it opens up to all of that potential control from a predator
right.
partner, be it through the use of social network, messaging, I want to see your phone, give me your password,
right.
monitoring where they are, hey, I saw you check in on Facebook. It can be very, very scary. And with that many hours being spent on tech devices, how do you get away from it? And then as a parent, how do you monitor all of that? Now, I pick up Jack's phone at least once a week. I'll take it out of his hand. I don't want him.
Right.
I don't want him to have any, you know, notice that's going to happen. I just take it out of his hand. I scroll through all the history. I look at all the messages, and then I hand it back to him.
Right.
But how do you do that without your child being afraid they're going to lose their device? What if something's happening, and because they know you're going to do a spot check, they delete these things? So these are things that I'm hoping Jen can give us some information on, some tips on how to be maybe a little covert in our investigation of what our children are up to, especially if we start seeing signs that make us uncomfortable as parents. But
right. I think that's going to be, we definitely need to, you know, go to the expert, and I'm sure Jennifer's definitely the expert to give us the, you know, as parents of teenage children, we need to know what can we do to prevent these things, and what signs and things we can do to better ourselves as parents. So, oh yeah, this is definitely something that I asked my daughter, who's using technology right now, to tune in and listen to. So I kind of made her do it, but that's okay. She's going to learn
right,
from
right.
it. So
it's good. It's good for her. It's good for her to hear. And to that, I say, hello, beautiful girl. just to give a little bit of background on Jen, so before she comes on, people understand some more about her that didn't have a chance to look at her bio or check out her website. Jennifer has spent many years in the self-defense arena. She's a teacher. She's a 2.5-degree black belt. She's also a survivor of abuse. She works with people from, you know, that have come out of the sex trafficking trade to help build them back up and get them back to where they need to be, you know, feeling safe, which, as you can imagine, that's a very difficult task.
Right.
She doesn't just focus on the physical self-defense aspect. She's very much a leader in teaching people emotional self-defense, how to be aware of their environment before it even becomes a situation. And she's very active with the Girl Scouts. Her biggest clientele tends to be that 10 to 20 range. And she works with girls and boys, but primarily girls, teaching them how to be safe, but how to be safe in a way that they're not paranoid. Do you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
Like being aware of your surroundings without being nervous all the time. And her company name is Powerhouse Self-Defense. Her website is powerhouseselfdefense.com. I'm sure after she speaks, you'll want to check out her different offerings, especially if you're in the Atlanta area. She does do workshops throughout the city as needed, and she does do group rates as well. But you'll see after we speak to her, she's definitely very well-versed, and she's great with dealing with young girls. She's actually taught me a few things. She actually taught Zach a few things. My son and I did some video with her, and she taught him some moves that I didn't know, and he was quite excited. I could see a difference in him right away.
Right. So, Bunny, tell me, how did you come across Jennifer? How did you meet?
I met Jennifer here. I network for my business, and I met her at another networking group. And what I love about Jennifer is she's not, you look at her, and she's not what you expect. You know, she's a little shorter than I am, and, you know, I'm pretty short, but I actually feel tall next to Jen. But she is just this amazing, she's such an advocate that you want to get to know her. So her and I became close quickly, did a little business together last year, and then realized we have very similar cause. You know, her cause, of course, is very much working with the victims of sex trafficking and avoiding sexual abuse, and mine being self-confidence improvement, self-acceptance. But you put those two things together, and, you know, we've actually become partners to do a workshop as well for young girls. So we
were
synonymous in what our causes are.
That is awesome. Well, we're about to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back from the break, we're definitely going to have Jennifer on from Powerhouse Self-Defense, and we're going to have her educate us and inform us. Call us if you want to call us. Call us at 347-857-3969. That's 347-857-3969. And we'll be right back with the Bunny and the Bron Show.
This is Master Promoter Carol Neal with AtlantaBusinessSpotlight.com. My business partner Tracy Randall and I offer a training series for networkers. We teach them how to be the voice that stands out in the crowd. In March, we're going to be adding the Experience Connections Networking Organization for Women to our ABS family. So we are especially proud to sponsor this program today, which features Jennifer Reese-Polson, who has dedicated her life to empowering women and helping them find their voice.
Rise up, speak up, power up. Hello, I'm Jennifer of Powerhouse Self-Defense. Powerhouse is the leader in emotional self-defense. Your basic human skills, such as prediction, recognition of warning signs, observation, and intuition will be awakened. Check out our website, powerhouseselfdefense.com, for information on our powerful workshops and courses. Don't become a victim. Become powerhouse strong today. Rise up, speak up, power up.
AVS Media Demo.
Bunny in the Brawn, but I'm also Melissa Baker, founder of The Bunny Life, single mother, and survivor of child sexual abuse. Now I teach women how to speak in a way that gets attention and respect, be comfortable in any business or social situation, and even
AVS Media Demo
with presence that commands attention. I also help them feel their most beautiful in just 30 days. Do you avoid mirrors, certain social situations, or even confrontation? Do you back down in conversation with others? Learn about The Bunny Life today.
AVS Media Demo.
Nurturing, novel, you. TheBunnyLife.com.
Hey, 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 we're back. We're back for Bunny and the Brawn. We have our special guest on the line. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for joining, Jen.
Oh, you're very welcome. As you know, I've just gotten back from teaching a large group of teens. 40 were in the room, 40 teens at St. Peter Chanel Church in Roswell, and talking about the same issue, teen dating violence. And it was pretty dynamic, let me tell you that. But so quite apropos that I should be on your show today talking about that very subject.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have to ask you a question about that, Jen. So 40 teens in the room, was it a co-ed class?
It was indeed a co-ed class, which was quite eye-opening. I normally teach, as you know, Melissa, I teach primarily girls. I do teach boys too, but it's always separate. And it was, I think, for the boys, quite eye-opening when I was giving them the statistics on sexual abuse on college campuses and obviously teen dating violence. And you know, jaws were dropped to the floor, basically. It was something that they didn't understand. And I did actually notice when talking about the warning signs, a couple of people were kind of looking at each other quickly like, What? Is that really a warning sign? So, you know, those signs are pretty subtle. Many signs can be pretty subtle. So it was interesting just to watch the group, how they interacted together and their responses as a co-ed, you know, workshop. And, yeah, so it was great. It was great.
Oh, they're lucky to have you. Your teaching style is wonderful. And the information you share is definitely so valuable. I'm not sure how much at the beginning you got to hear because I know you were going from your teaching to coming on with us, but were you able to listen into some of the statistics that I've shared? And if so, do you have anything statistically that or informationally that you can add to the actual topic, you know, the problem that is going on right now with teen dating violence?
Yeah, so I just want to just correct one thing on my bio. I'm not actually a victim of abuse. The reason why I got into what I'm doing is because I have a daughter, you know, who's now 16, and knowing the statistics on teen dating violence and sexual assault on campus and domestic violence, that is the reason why I really got into this. But in terms of, you pretty much covered the statistics, Melissa, and I'm really happy that there is a month that is dedicated to awareness on this issue because, like you said, many parents, 81%, don't even think it's an issue. I mean, they're teenagers. You're thinking, how can they possibly be abusive to each other? So I'm glad that we have a month. You know, we have a month dedicated to sex trafficking awareness, which is January. Then we have April, sexual assault awareness. Then October, domestic violence awareness. So I'm really glad that this issue is now being addressed and people are actually taking it seriously. So, you kind of covered the statistics. And I think, you know, we're talking about high school girls. You know, a quarter of them, 25% of high school girls have become victims of either physical or sexual abuse. And again, one important statistic is that even though we know that one in three teens experience this, actually, you know, 60 to 70% don't come forward. So that percentage that we know of is so minute to compared to what is actually happening.
Wow, that's amazing.
Okay, so that Go ahead, Bron.
No, I was going to say that's amazing. The numbers are staggering. Jennifer, I know that Melissa hyped you up and told us all about this stuff, but please tell us about you. I want to know what made you start, how long you've been doing this, how's the feedback here in Atlanta. Just give me your whole bio. We got about 15 minutes. Give me your whole bio.
Okay. Well, as you can, I'm not from the United States, so I'm from London, but mm-hmm. No, moved here back in 2004. Anyway, I got divorced. I was because we moved from country to country, I kind of stayed at home with my kids, mm-hmm. Gave up my career, that kind of thing. So when I got divorced, I needed to find something to do, of course, and tried various things. And if someone had told me 4 years ago that I would be doing this, I would have said, get out of here. You're kidding me. I'm not getting. What makes you think I'm going to do that? But seriously, even though my background is in psychology and martial arts, that's been my background. But it just happened to be one day I liked to jazzercise, and I would always be at the first class in the morning, like at 8:15. This one particular morning in 2011, I was the very first one there. I was very early. So I waited outside, and I saw the one of the instructors at the other end of the studio, back to the door, headphones on, looking at a routine on the TV. So I waited until I put my hand on the door and the door was unlocked. I was able to walk straight to that studio, stand behind her before she looked up and realized I was there. So I kind of fit me out a little bit. And so I said, well, I'm going to teach you guys some self-defense, basic self-defense. But then I got back and I started to do research on assault against females. And when I saw these statistics, I really thought they were global until I realized that they were only for the United States. So that really shook me up quite a bit. And so with my background, I thought, well, you know, I think I can put something together. There must be a reason. You know, why is nobody struggling this? I know that I have the background to help. And so that's basically where it started from. And I designed a curriculum. It was very basic to begin with, but then I did more research and started to teach people, more and more people. And I figured, well, I need to expand this more. And the reason why there's an issue is because people are not recognizing danger signs, they're not able to predict behaviors, they're not being observant enough, not using their intuition enough. And so that's why the Powerhouse program consists of three components. Emotional self-defense is the key component. It's basically getting people back to their natural human skills. That is so crucial. And then verbal self-defense, that means training your voice to be powerful, a powerful tool to show confidence. And then, of course, thirdly, is the physical. A lot of self-defense programs teach mostly the physical. What do I do now if I'm being attacked? Well, we don't want you to be in that position where you're attacked. It's a horrible position. We've got to remember the mental health implications after being put in that position. So though we do teach the physical side and put participants into every attack scenario you can imagine, it comes third. Because we want to prevent it in the first place. And the idea, even though I teach all ages, basically, the reason why my target market are the young, are the kids and the teenagers, is because if we can make them aware of these, of the signs to potentially harmful behavior, and again, knowing how to be properly observant, then they're less likely become, number one, victims of trafficking, victims of teen dating violence, victims of campus assault, and victims of domestic violence. So that is where it basically started. Again, never in a million years did I think I would be doing something like this, but I figured that this was the path I was supposed to take. I think that if I had remained married, I don't think I would be in this business. I don't think I would be doing this. So everything's happened for a reason. And strange enough, through my own training, through me teaching others and just my own curriculum and everything I've learned from it, it's actually helped me. My tagline is Rise Up, Speak Up, Power Up. And I recite that to myself when things really go hit rock bottom, which they have. Melissa knows, you know, putting this program together has taken everything, a big commitment, because it is a mission, it is a passion, it's a calling. And when it's your calling, you will do everything that you need to do to get the message out there. But every time I've taken the knockback, I recite to myself, Jen, rise up, power up, rise up, power up. So it's funny that it's through my own training that I've been able to, you know, rise above the hardship that I've had to deal with. But in a nutshell, though, that's where it started from enjoying a particular fitness, program in the morning to putting together a powerhouse. It's funny the way these things happen.
So reading your bio, you're a second-degree black belt. I mean, that's amazing. Tell me, how did you, you know, that's, I guess, in order to be that strong, powerful woman. So as a second-degree black belt, I mean, that comes with a lot of knowledge and a lot of skill. And how did that come about?
Well, we were living in England, and we wanted to do something as a family. So I was in judo when I was probably 11, 12 years old, and my now ex, he was in jiu-jitsu. And so, you know, this was sort of a common interest for us. And so we decided to take martial arts up as a family, again, back in London. And that was great. And then we had to move to Atlanta for his job. And lo and behold, the headquarters of this particular martial arts was in Kennesaw, not some, you know, high up on the mountain in Korea somewhere. No, you know, some mystic place. No, it was Kennesaw, Georgia. The Grand Master was right here. So, okay. So we were able to continue our training and here when we moved to Atlanta. And the thing is with a black belt, and I tell, and you know, I do teach martial arts still because I'm a certified chief instructor in martial arts, so I do teach martial arts. And I tell everyone that starts right from the very beginning that I was a white belt, but a black belt is a white belt that never gave up. And that's carried over into my life, and that carries over into people's life because training the martial arts is a huge commitment, and it's tough. It's really tough training. And I think when you can commit to something like that, when you have that goal, you will do everything you need to do to achieve that goal. And it's the same with my program. I have a goal. I have a mission. So it's my own training, again, in martial arts that gives me those qualities, you know, the humility, the integrity, the perseverance, and the unbreakable spirit. So it's all helped in everything I've been doing today. But, yes, we started that as a family, and as a chief instructor, I was able to train my own kids eventually. My daughter couldn't start in the beginning because she was too young. So when we got here and I became a black belt, I started training her. And there's no better feeling than putting a black belt around your own child's waist. So I took my daughter to first degree black belt. I took my son to second degree black belt. There was no more, there is no prouder moment than doing that for your own kids. So yeah, we are the black belt kick-ass family, actually.
That's fantastic. I would never, ever want to approach you in an offensive way when you're with your family or by yourself.
No, but we know how to deal with it. That's the thing. People immediately say, oh, my gosh, you're a black belt. I better stay away from you. Like, no, what are you talking about? If you hurt me, then you want to be scared, you know. So that's where it started, really.
Oh,
now, Jen, I want to ask you, because since you've been here in Atlanta, you are very well known across especially the area, you know, where I've met you and in the metro, as being such an advocate for the cause of the empowerment of women. In your experience with dealing with, you know, abused girls, non-abused girls, sex trafficking victims, do you find that there is a difference in the demographics? I guess what I'm looking for is, you know, where we're located in the metro is obviously a very highly sought-after area.
Yeah.
And you assume that when you get into the, you know, the less affluent areas that there's going to be more. But I also heard a story about a sex trafficking ring of young girls right here in Roswell.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, what is your, when it comes to things like teen dating violence and even kind of bringing in the potential for sex trafficking because those girls are beat down through their relationship, is there a big demographical difference or is it across the board everyone's, you know, everyone's equally susceptible?
Everyone is equally susceptible. And I think there is this notion that, that for example, trafficking victims come from the more poverty-stricken areas, which to some extent is true. Kids that run away from home are likely to be, you know, taken into the trade within 48 hours or something like that. So there's that issue. But there is this misconception that because we live in Roswell or we live in Alpharetta or we live in Johns Creek, that it's just not happening here, but it is. There's a the grooming is a grooming process, and a lot of it occurs firstly online, but it's anywhere. And if you're doing something online, it doesn't matter where you are. So there is you can't say that this is the this area here is particularly susceptible to those kind of abuses and you know trafficking and sexual abuse. It doesn't matter. This kind of thing doesn't discriminate. It can occur to anyone of any age and at any time, basically. So you can live in the nicest part of Atlanta. You're not going to be exempt from this happening to your daughter or yourself. People have cars. They can move from one city to another to do what they want to do. So, no. It can be anyone.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Do you feel that there is a tie between teen dating violence and the propensity to be groomed easier for something such as sex trafficking? Because I see that it could be a very easy, you know, once you've become a victim, kind of staying in that victim, you know, that victim mentality.
Yeah, and, you know, they are two separate issues, but not as well. When if you're lacking in confidence, lacking in self-esteem, you're searching for someone who's just going to accept you, and that's the issue. And we're talking about that age of girls that are really between 11 and 14 where their self-esteem levels take a dive, they take a nosedive. And if they're not feeling confident and someone approaches them that is doting on them, you know, complimenting them, making them feel like a woman, what teenage girl doesn't like that? And so, again, a lot of it is lack of self-esteem. But yes, if they've been a victim of trafficking, there's a likelihood they're going to fall into that cycle and become a victim of teen dating, become a victim of sexual assault, victim of domestic violence. But again, the many teens that we're talking about haven't been trafficked. These are just green kids who new relationship, you know, first relationship maybe, don't understand that the signs at all, or as you had mentioned before, are already involved in a domestic situation where maybe the parents are abusive to each other. So they think that a boyfriend or a girlfriend being verbally abusive to them is normal. So it's kind of that we can treat them as two separate issues, actually.
I guess
so
my concern is as a parent, you know, we don't know what signs to look for. I mean, we're going to talk about that, I'm assuming, when we get back from the break. But not knowing what signs to look for, it doesn't seem a far stretch that a teen dating violence abused girl could be broken down so much that it's easier for her to become a trafficking victim. And I guess my concern there also is where we're at. You know, Atlanta is the hub for that.
Yeah.
So it is two separate issues, but it's almost like teen dating violence is the gateway to much bigger things, you know, as well as a higher suicide rate, alcoholism, depression, mental, you know, future mental illness. So many things are tied to just that one thing. And the importance of parents knowing what to look for.
Yeah.
What signs
well, the thing
to
is,
see
when you're, when you've been verbally and emotionally and physically abused, you're really broken down. And so it's easy to fall into a trap with someone who's is seemingly really nice, suddenly praising you and making you feel really great about yourself. It's easy to fall into that trap. And, you know, predators know that. They know how to groom these teenagers, these young girls. And again, it's you know, that's why we have to be so careful with our teenagers, because they do lack that self-esteem from that age. And again, it's specifically that age between 11 and 14, for you know, mostly for trafficking. Yes, girls older are trafficked too, but that is really the target there for predators, because they know what girls are going through, and boys too. Boys are trafficked too, but the majority are girls.
All right. Well, I'm very excited to come back after this break for our sponsors and hear some of the signs to look for and maybe some ways that we can help intercept what might be going on. But for now, we're going to take a quick sponsor break, and we're excited to get back here with Jennifer Reese-Polton.
Are you in need of a girls' night in? Are you newly engaged, single, and fabulous? Contact Pure Romance by Renita to book your party today. Our parties educate, empower, and entertain women in the bedroom and beyond. Earn up to $100 in free product by getting your girlfriends together for a night of laughter and fun. Visit www.pureromance.com/Renita McKenzie to place an order, book a party, or to join my team today.
Are you tired of makeup that doesn't last as long as you do? Do cosmetics improve your skin as you wear them? Welcome to Crowley Kisses. I am Tracy, a distributor of Senegence International. Our color makes a statement from subtle to wild, improving skin, lasting colors, and beautiful results. Our makeup works as hard as you do. Go online to Senegence.com/Crowley Kisses and see the difference.
Rise up, speak up, power up. Hello, I'm Jennifer of Powerhouse Self-Defense. Powerhouse is the leader in emotional self-defense. Your basic human skills, such as prediction, recognition of warning signs, observation, and intuition, will be awakened. Check out our website, powerhouseselfdefense.com, for information on our powerful workshops and courses. Don't become a victim. Become Powerhouse Strong today. Rise up, speak up, power up.
Hello, and welcome back again to Bunny in the Bronze episode on Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, this month of February. We are discussing the long-term effects and short-term effects of teen violence, what it can lead to, and we have special guest on, Jennifer Reese-Polton. She is a local expert on these issues, and we are about to go into discussing signs to look for. So if you have a teenage child and you want to make sure that you're diligent in making sure that they're not becoming a victim by their, what you think is a harmless crush, I'm going to turn it over to Jen and hopefully hear some signs that I never see. Jen, it's all you.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa. First of all, I think it's important for parents to watch out for what we call the too fast, too soon trap. That is something that kids, well, you know, even adults can sometimes get into that, but then they're kind of more experienced. But with kids, because they're just so inexperienced, that you will find that a lot of kids get into this trap. And what that is basically they swan dive into a relationship way too quickly and use the words "I love you" way too quickly. There's a big issue with this. If your child is suddenly dating someone and they're constantly with each other, there's no breathing space, you know, they're at school with each other, then in the evenings with each other, at weekends with each other. That is how some of these behaviors, abusive behaviors, can actually start. So that's the first thing I will say to parents, is that watch out for your child who just gives up everything to be with this one person. But some of the the warning signs are certainly that related to the swan dive, the too fast, too soon trap, is watch out for your child that who was popular before, had many friends, is suddenly breaking ties with a lot of friends and doting their time, or doting on the partner, basically. That may not be your child that's making that decision. It could be the partner that's saying, hey, if you love me, I'd like to spend more time with me, I don't want you to see this girl, I don't want you to see that girl. And also watch out for your child trying to break ties with you as a family member. Again, that's been influenced by the partner. So they're really the first signs to watch out for. Even at this point, if there's no verbal or physical abuse, that is how it starts.
Jen, I'd actually like to encroach on that a little bit further because,
you know,
Jack and I, you know, my 13-and-a-half-year-old and I are very close, and we just talked about how he's already kind of pushing me away, not in a way that, you know, I'm not involved in things, but I already feel like there's a distance created. So how can I tell? I love that you said that, you know, if they're not doing things they would normally do, hanging out with their friends, if they seem more distant, how will I know, or how do you recommend I go to my child to bring that up? You know, is this something, you know, what's going on? How do I bring it up without alerting or alarming them so that I can get to the root of the problem and make sure it's not just what I would consider normal teenage behavior?
Well, the thing is that, you know, a teenager who doesn't want to do as much with his mom, that is normal. Both my kids have gone through that. It's not cool to be with mom all the time. That's normal. I mean, you know, seriously. But if you know who his circle of friends are, and if when he starts dating and you realize that he's no longer hanging with this circle of friends, he's constantly with this girl. Now, he has to be with this girl somewhere, either in your house or in her house or at school, but you realize there's no break in that. They are constantly hanging with each other, and your son is no longer talking about his friend Charlie or his friend John, and the only thing that he's talking about is the girl. That's a warning sign. To basically, as a parent, you can say, take a break, you know, go do your sports. So there's certain things you will see. If he's in sports, if he doesn't want to go to his sports, if he's used to watching, something on TV, he doesn't want to watch that on TV. If his behavior changes because of one person that he's with, that could be something going on there. But let's remember as well, kids can be kids, and when they feel that they're in love, that's their whole world. So that's the kind of behavior you want to watch your son or your daughter's behavior, how they are changing. If they're not involved with their other friends or their activities, and the only thing they're focused on is their dating partner, then that's a warning sign there. And that kids, nobody starts off in a relationship being abusive. I mean, you know, from the beginning, when you're dating for the first few days, few weeks, you're as nice as pie, everything seems normal. But then the control starts to take over, even without the abuse. Like I said, the control. Get disconnecting from friends, disconnecting from family. That's the first warning sign that I think every parent should be aware of. And as hard as it is to speak to your child, because your child doesn't want to listen, you've got to sow those seeds into their head that there's an issue here. Kids don't like to speak to their parents. That's why my program is there. You know, now you have an expert telling the kids the same thing their parents are telling them. Sowing those seeds in their head, it can be a help. But like I said, the very first sign is to watch for is for them cutting ties with their other friends and the family, and just not doing the things that they have been engaged in before. They can't be bothered to go to practice, can't be bothered to do this. So that's the first sign that there could be something later on. Not right now, but it could happen later on that they can get abusive.
Okay.
Does that answer your question there on that one?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because I think that as parents of teenagers, you know, I'm just so excited I'm not changing diapers anymore and I don't even have to make dinner all the time that I might not notice that my child was pulling away. But to know that that's a warning sign, it brings me back around to saying, okay, I need to make sure I'm taking the temperature of this child regularly and having regular conversations.
Exactly.
And I'll say one of the things that we do every night is we have dinner together. And it's a great opportunity to get conversation going. But I love that, and I'm anxious to hear what else.
But remember something, like I said before, that our teens, I mean, they know to some extent what abuse can be, but they don't really see the changes in that behavior because they're blinded by the love, you know, or they're just so inexperienced. And so talking about some of these warning signs. So again, the first warning sign is a child that disconnects with his or her friends and family, and is not interested in doing the things that they normally would like to do. But when talking to the actual teen, making them aware as well, though, you want to watch out for things like extreme jealousy or insecurity on the part of the partner. Now, again, when people are in love, they can get a little jealous if you're talking to another girl or you're talking to another boy. But I'm talking about extreme jealousy or insecurity. All these things are pre-incident indicators to abuse. Another thing, possessiveness. And that's kind of like the same thing we're talking about, disconnecting with friends. Being possessive over the partner, that's a warning sign too. And telling your partner what to do all the time, how they should feel, basically what to do, and just looking, demanding to look at another person's phone, looking at their text, looking into their email. You know, tell to these kids, I don't care if it's a boyfriend or, you know, whether you've known him for 2 days or 2 months, he shouldn't know your password to your emails. And nobody else should be taking your phone to look at your text. And nobody needs to know where you are 24/7, except your parents, if you're living under their roof. So they're the signs to look out for. If your child is home after seeing the date and they're constantly, the other person's constantly finding out what are you doing, where are you going, and when your child does go out with friends and that person says, well, what are you doing now, where are you going, that's a warning sign too. Nobody needs to know where your child is 24/7. So again, that's controlling behavior and
wow,
start of an unhealthy relationship.
And a little girl, a young girl who is just finding her self-confidence and trying to be validated, I can see where she would think that that's flattering. I can see that she would think that that is love and not being controlled.
It's interpreted interpreted by our teens as, yeah, complete and utter love and adoration. It's like, oh, he wants to know where I am 24/7 because he loves me. And they don't realize that this is a pre-incident indicator to violence. And that is where it leads, because the problem is when the relationship is now threatened because maybe one of the partners decides, well, you know, I really miss seeing my best friend. I want to go see my best friend. It makes the other person insecure, and now that is where it can lead to the abuse, where they can start, you know, they'll start, maybe you see some temper, some explosive temper, or they start putting you down a little bit. Now we've started with the verbal abuse, you know, and so it starts all with what I mentioned before, the backing away, the disconnecting with friends, the disconnecting with family, wanting to know where you are 24/7, possessiveness. Like I said, the abuse normally happens when one of the two pulls back a little bit because they realize it's kind of like a wake-up call, like, wait a minute, I didn't go to practice today, and really I should have gone to practice. That's kind of where it starts to go wrong.
I wanted to throw something else out there, too, that at first the number seems so small, but 8% of boys and 9% of girls every year in this age range end up in the hospital due to injuries from teen dating violence. And I was like, boy, 8-9%. And then I was like, wait a minute. These are 10 to, you know, 17-year-old children that are in the hospital due to this type of abuse from a partner. And then, of course, the number seems very high. So do you, as a parent, I was reading that children are very nervous to tell their family and friends about what's going on because, you know, they've got so many things going on. Their self-confidence is down. Yeah. They don't want to cause problems. They don't want to have to explain things. But if your child is being physically abused, is there a certain telltale sign that might show up or something we could look for, be it maybe they're dressing to cover more of their body part or I'm not sure. I'm so not familiar with this particular topic and what to look for. Yeah. What would you recommend?
Well, obviously the physical signs. I mean, if there is bruising, but again, they can cover themselves up. But if you've got a child that's being physically abused, you're going to see different behavior in your child. Your child who's being physically abused is not going to come home smiling and happy. You're going to see warning signs. They're going to become depressed. They're going to become withdrawn. Maybe they're going to lock themselves in their room. You've got to know your child. You know, a parent that is not watching for this won't see it. You know, a parent is actually just a teenager. You need to know these things. You will see a difference in your child's behavior from maybe being a happy child to suddenly, again, withdrawn and depressed. But, of course, yes, the physical signs. There's likely to be, you know, maybe around the arms, the grabbing. Obviously, the face is easy to see. And you know, your child can tell a little lie. Well, I fell and I did this. Well, you know, if you've seen that there's been an issue beforehand, if you've seen the warning signs ahead of the physical, let's remember the physical doesn't just start like that. You know, it's gradual. It's not from literally one day to the other. It's gradual. And if you're aware of the other warning signs and you see something on your child, then that's a physical abuse. And, you know, no matter how much your child covers it up, that is physical abuse. But you have to watch out for any kind of change in behavior. And again, the bruises. There's only so many times that you can cover up bruises. You know, it was a very hot day. You can't cover up those bruises. And so you want to. But the thing is, you want to question. Parents shouldn't feel afraid to question their teenagers. Parents shouldn't be afraid of their teenagers. The other thing is, kids, teenagers, they can feel embarrassed, and they don't know how to talk about it. And, you know, again, if they're in an abusive family already, maybe they think it's normal to be pushed around by a dating partner. And if you're a parent who is in an abusive relationship, you need to let your children know this is not normal behavior, and we don't want this happening to you. But parents need to be attentive to what's going on with their teenagers. And I know it's difficult because teenagers can be horrible sometimes. Yeah, they don't want to
really
talk to you. Seriously. I've been through it, let me tell you. So
what about when you approach your child because you're seeing the signs? So you see the signs and you approach your child and you bring it to their attention.
Yeah.
How do you recommend dealing with that teenager instead of having an open conversation, coming to you with apologizing for their partner's behavior or even making excuses? Do you recommend any type of reaction to that? I can see a teenager trying to, you know, stick up for their partner.
To deny it, exactly. Well, I think, again, you know, a parent, you do have to address it. You've got to start that conversation. And the idea is to get parents to recognize that there's a potential danger from the beginning, like I said, disconnecting from friends and family. You have to start the conversation immediately with your child. Put that seed in their brains and in their minds. And you know, again, my program teaches that. You know, it's a shame that you have to have an expert to tell them the same thing that their parents are telling them. But that's what teenagers are. Teenagers don't want to listen to you. But it's important parents do. No, they don't. But it's important that it doesn't matter. Sit your child down and tell them what you've seen through experience and tell them, explain to them basically have them talk to them about other relationships and say, you know, what do you think is a healthy relationship? You know, what do you think is you know, an unhealthy relationship? You have to start the conversation.
Okay. Jen, we're going to go to break again real brief to show off our sponsors and give them some of the limelight, thank them for their contribution. And when we get back, one of the things I want to talk about is the other side. You know, what if, God forbid, your child is the abuser? What are some signs there, and how can you get involved? So we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with Jennifer Reeve Poulsen and Teen Dating Violence Awareness.
This is Master Promoter Carol Neal with AtlantaBusinessSpotlight.com. My business partner Tracy Randall and I offer a training series for networkers. We teach them how to be the voice that stands out in the crowd. In March, we're going to be adding the Experience Connections Networking Organization for Women to our ABS family. So we are especially proud to sponsor this program today, which features Jennifer Reeve Poulsen, who has dedicated her life to empowering women and helping them find their voice.
AVS Media Demo.
Bunny and the Brawn, but I'm also Melissa Baker, founder of The Bunny Life, single mother and survivor of child sexual abuse. Now I teach women how to speak in a way that gets attention and respect, be comfortable in any business or social situation, and even
AVS Media Demo
with presence that commands attention. I also help them feel their most beautiful in just 30 days. Do you avoid mirrors, certain social situations, or even confrontation? Do you back down in conversation with others? Learn about The Bunny Life today.
AVS Media Demo.
Nurturing, novel, you. TheBunnyLife.com.
Are you tired of makeup that doesn't last as long as you do? Do cosmetics improve your skin as you wear them? Welcome to Crowley Kisses. I am Tracy, a distributor of Senegence International. Our color makes a statement from subtle to wild. Improving skin, lasting colors, and beautiful results. Our makeup works as hard as you do. Go online to senegence.com/CrowleyKisses and see the difference.
We're back, Bunny and the Brawn, on the Teen Dating Violence with our special guest, Jennifer Reeve Poulsen, founder of the Powerhouse Self-Defense. Now, Jennifer, before the break, we were talking about from one side, as Melissa indicated, what about the other side of the teen dating violence scenario? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You mean the abuser?
Right.
That's a really difficult thing to deal with because parents, when you hear that your child has been a bully or been abusive, there are a lot of parents who basically ignore it and say, no, not my child. They're in denial. But you've got to wonder where the abuse starts from. And so it's unfortunate that an abuser is likely to have come from an abusive home. But what it takes, really, as a parent, is to educate our children, whether they're girls or boys. We know that, unfortunately, the majority the issue of boys and men. However, girls can be abusive, women and women can be abusive too. It's really important to educate our kids from young how to be respectful, to understand what a healthy relationship and an unhealthy relationship is. So it's kind of, when you hear that your teenage son has been physically or emotionally or verbally abusive to someone, you have to talk to them again, start this conversation about healthy versus unhealthy relationships. But again, when someone is abusive, it's come from somewhere, and it's normally like a cycle that it's happened, that they've been in that environment, and they think it's normal to treat a partner the way they may be seeing their parents treating each other. So that's a difficult whole other issue that needs to be dealt with in our society, educating people on being respectful to each other, and that's what I can comment on.
Okay, thank you. I look to see, because of course I'm raising a boy, so And it is very sexist to say this, but when I think of victimization, I do tend to think of younger girls being more victimized than young boys, even though I do know that there are boys that are victims. It is tends to be a lower amount. But one of the things I found that I would want to look for in my son was if he's continually trying to control how his girlfriend dresses, you know, and how they act. You know, trying to control the outer persona of the partner or insulting the girlfriend or boyfriend regularly could be signs. But you're right. Nobody wants to believe that their child is leading that way or that child is capable of those things.
Yeah.
And if you are in an abusive household, it is difficult to notice that behavior yourself because you're living it. So it is.
The chances are with your child, when they're with you with the girlfriend or the boyfriend, they're not going to show these behaviors. They're not going to do it in front of you. You're not going to necessarily know what they're doing out of sight. So, you know, they could be doting in front of you, but he or she could be abusive out of sight. So that's what I'm saying. It's difficult to know, to see this, and it's difficult to understand what's going on. But I think educating them from young and not telling them what is right from wrong and how to treat people, you know, treat people with respect, that's really important. And one thing I wanted to say, though, is that one thing we need to make our teens understand is that all relationships have ups and downs. It doesn't matter. Every relationship has its ups and downs. But when it doesn't work out, when things do start to fall apart, to educate our kids to understand, you know, it is okay to be upset and, you know, and tearful and emotional when you break up with someone and to be kind of a little irritated by your partner, but it is never, ever acceptable to be abusive, whether it's emotionally, verbally or physically. So we want them to understand it's okay to be upset when your partner decides they want to break off, but it's never right to be abusive in any way, shape, or form.
I completely understand. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I have a couple questions for you, Jen, regarding resources. So because of how, you know, only 40% of these children are coming forward, to the children that maybe, you know, forced to listen to this show, what are some resources? Who should they tell? Who can they go to if they don't want to go to their parents? Who are the people that are going to be the quickest to help them find solutions?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, they can do a couple of things. First of all, they should tell their best friend, their confidant. In school, they should go to the school counselor and tell the school counselor what's going on. There's also, if they don't want to get school involved, don't want to get their friends involved, there is actually a dating abuse helpline that they can call. There are people there to help them and talk to them without even a parent knowing about it. And there's a number that they can call, and they can even text. And they can text Love Is, LOVEIS, Love Is, to this number, 22522, and they will get a response, and they will speak to someone. They will get someone contacting them and talking to them. Again, it's a third party basically, because again, kids can be embarrassed when they realize, especially if the parents and the friends have already warned them. They don't want to go back and say, by the way. So this is the number that's what they can text. Or the number, if you want me to give the number for the abuse helpline, it's 1-866-331-9474. Again, 1-866-331-9474. And they can certainly get help from somebody there.
Jen, is that the loveisrespect.org? I actually put up loveisrespect.org up on our website, bunnylife.com. Click on Bunny and the Blonde Radio Show, and I put that up as a resource, and it includes that text information.
Oh, you did?
So it's so funny that you just said that.
There you go.
That's
yeah,
great.
There you go. But that's the number. So, but then they can reach out without, you know, again, getting, if they're embarrassed, because kids are embarrassed by it, which, you know, is something else we can't understand, but they are. But yes, they can absolutely reach out to these people and get immediate help.
Okay. Now, my next question is, you know, when I was in high school, when I was in grade school, they would bring in these speakers to talk about different things, but what they never talked about was this topic. Do the schools now have programs that we don't, that we're not aware of? And if not, is there anything as parents we can do?
No, they don't currently have this as a topic. It's still a very sensitive topic. Just like sex trafficking, that's not a topic in schools either, and it needs to be. We need to start the conversation now. And this is why the Powerhouse program has been, the Powerhouse Proficiency course has been put together, because the whole point of this course is to bring it into the high schools, middle schools and high schools, to educate our youth on such matters, you know, like this, teen dating violence, as well as just general personal safety. But no, it's not part of the curriculum or not even an after-school program, but it needs to be. It needs to be in the health classes. This is exactly something that needs to be spoken about.
Sounds like we need a petition. Let's get started.
Absolutely. I absolutely
agree. I would love to have my son hear about this. I would love to have Jay's daughter hear about this, you know, and the earlier they hear about it, the more they're ready for middle school and high school.
Exactly.
I know that you have a couple of different things that you offer. My understanding is you have a proficiency course as well as weekend workshops. Could you give us a summary of your proficiency course and your workshops and give us some times that, you know, might be coming up that those of us in the Atlanta area can come and learn from you?
Yeah. Well, the flagship workshop is the Personal Safety and Empowerment Workshop. Those are three-hour workshops. Now, I normally schedule a workshop once a month in Roswell, and the next one in Roswell is Sunday, March the 20th. However, if you have a group of girls and women or a group of boys that want to take the workshop, all you have to do is call me and we put it on the schedule and I come to you. So though I schedule it for Roswell because I live in Roswell, I teach all over, not just all over Atlanta actually, all over Georgia, in different states. I've already been to Texas. I've already been to Ohio and Florida with the program. So it's a mission I'm on. So you call me with the group, the number in your group, and I will put it on the schedule and I will come to you. So that's a three-hour workshop. Very intense. We try to put as much to that workshop as possible. Now, the proficiency course is a 10-hour course, which can be split into 2 hours over 5 weeks or 1 hour over 10 weeks. That's a great course because there's a lot of reinforcements and you're getting it, the information, over a period of time. And that is actually life-changing. That is actually changing the mindsets of people, which is what we want. So, and the proficiency course, I launched that just in the summer last year. And, in fact, I was teaching the teens at St. Peter's Chanel earlier this afternoon. I was teaching a group of special needs boys, session 3 of the proficiency course. So, and again, with the proficiency course, if you have a group of kids, whether girls or boys, I don't normally teach co-ed. I was just doing that today. We will put it on the schedule, and again, I will come to you.
Well, what are some of the things that I can expect in the proficiency course that I won't get in this three-hour workshop, Jen?
A lot more, because it's a lot more time. Well, we really focus a lot more on every single subject, rather than talking about, for example, emotional self-defense, rather than just talking about prediction for like 15 minutes, we'll go into prediction for half an hour. But through each session, you're going to get a little piece of everything from the components, the emotional, verbal, and physical side. And there's a lot in my curriculum is quite large, and there's a lot of information that cannot be taught in 3 hours. It's information overload, and it just goes straight over people's heads. But we do get much more into the psychological element of the Powerhouse program. which again is about prevention and awareness, and just training the physical techniques over that period, training all the attack scenarios over that period. So it becomes, you know, not quite second nature, but, you know how to use those in a given situation. So that is why that is really the way to go with the proficiency course, and that is the program that needs to be in the schools, either as part of their health classes or their after school programs. And I'm happy to say that I have two schools interested already in having the proficiency course as an after school program. So I'm really happy about that. It's a start. So okay. I'm really happy about that. Yeah.
You know what? I can actually see that type of a course being a stand-in for even gym because, you know, you've got a physical component there. So if there was a physical component in each hour, then that would be perfect. That would be perfect to get into a physical education.
And one of the great things is I teach Girl Scouts. I'm program partners with Girl Scouts. So I had a group of Girl Scouts who attend Inman Park, middle school. They went to the workshop, and the girls that attend Inman Park Middle School have requested my program be part of their gym program. So that's a third school basically that I'm working with to bring it in there. So, you know, it starts slowly, but this is what's needed. This is a life skill. This is part of their education. And we want to bring those statistics down. We don't want our kids to be victims of any kind of assault. We want them to be able to be aware of those warning signs. And again, education in learning what healthy versus unhealthy relationships are, and educating our kids on that, to be respectful, to not be controlling, to give each other space, and not need to know where they are 24/7. I see many great things happening with the program.
Yeah, that sounds, I would love to see that. And of course, if you need any help advocating that, I am definitely on your side and I would love to be involved. If you could take a few minutes and tell us, you know, your website, are you on Facebook, your phone number, give it all to us, Jen. I want to be able to let everyone know how to reach you, how to find out more about you and your great program.
Okay. Well, the website is powerhouseselfdefense.com. We're going to be having a new website going up in a few weeks to shoot some new videos for that. But we do have a current website right now. So go ahead and take a look at that. You can get in touch with me via social media, Facebook, Powerhouse Self-Defense, Twitter, Powerhouse SD, and phone number, 470-269-2699. So there's many ways that you can get in touch with me. A good email to email me on is powerhousestrong@gmail.com. So again, many ways that you can contact me, and the typically I teach from 10 years to basically 110. So but the minimum age is normally 10 years old. Well, I've had some elderly. I've had the oldest person participating was 87 years old. Bless her heart.
Really?
So if you have a group of girls and women, and this is a great workshop for as a mum and daughter workshop as well. And if you have a group of girls and women from age 10 and above, you contact me. It doesn't matter which part of town you're in, which part of Georgia you're in. We'll put you on the schedule and I will come to you.
That's fantastic, Jen. Thank you so much. Before we wrap up this portion of the show and move on to discuss briefly what we're going to talk about next week, is there anything else that you wanted to share with us? Any piece of information or anything at all?
So what was the last thing you said, Melissa?
Is there anything else further that you'd like to share with us before we wrap up the show and talk about what's coming next week?
Well, again, I think just to basically reiterate what I just said maybe, 5 minutes ago, that people in relationships, they will get upset over things, and that is natural. But abuse is never acceptable, and that's what we've got to, talk to our kids about. In fact, there is actually another thing that parents can do to know more about this subject, this issue, and Powerhouse absolutely recommends that they go download some information from a website called It's Time to Talk Day. So it's timetotalkday.org. And there's a lot of information on teen dating and on healthy relationships. And there's a PDF file that can be downloaded. Go ahead and download it. Take a little read and start the conversation with your kids right now, especially those that are in middle school. Start it now.
But you know what, Jen, if you want to send me the link to that, I'll put it right up on our website. I did put some resources up already. If people want to go to thebunnylife.com, click on Bunny and the Brawn Radio. There is statistics by the CDC. I found an educational interactive site called Cool Not Cool, and then, of course, loveisrespect.org. And now I will definitely put up the site that Jen just said. So just send that to me on the side, Jen. I'll make sure that gets up. I would love to read that.
Okay, I'll just send
that would be
to
great
you
information.
Now,
and I already have it. Thank you. You're very quick. That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I really
appreciate you being on this show. Like I said, you have such an amazing reputation here for being an expert at what you do. And I've not met anybody that knows you that doesn't just have huge respect and regard for what it is that you do every single day. And we're blessed to have gotten this time this late at night from you. So thank you so much. Especially after such a long day of doing what you do, I would imagine you're exhausted. So we do appreciate it. So you'll be able to get her information. I'll put her information up as well on our page so that you can reach her. I highly recommend to anybody that has a child to find out more about her programs. She is life-changing for them.
I hope I was able to answer your question. Again, this is such a big issue. You know, there's never enough time to answer every question. So
mine are definitely answered. But if we get any more as time goes on, I will forward them on to you.
Absolutely.
And I can see us asking you on again for another similar topic.
Absolutely.
Keep your phone line open.
April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So I'd be happy to be on the show during those awareness months for sure, if that's what you would
Thank
like.
Thank you so much.
That would be
Not
great. We'd love to have you on.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank
right.
you, Jen.
Thank you.
Have
Thank
a wonderful evening.
On.
You too. I think I'm going to go night-night now.
Have a great
All right,
night.
Guys. You take care, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Brawn.
Yes.
That was some great information. As a parent, I feel I'm torn. I feel a little overwhelmed by mm-hmm. some of the signs that she talked about and how easy it would be, not knowing what she said, to mistake it for normal teenage behavior, but I definitely feel more empowered as a parent at this point in knowing what to look for. I'm so glad that she was available to come on.
I totally agree. She could have stayed on another hour. There were so many more questions I wanted to ask her, but it's great that she put out her her online information and the workshop she was doing, so it's great. So to all our listeners out there, please, please, please make sure you go to her website. Make sure you check out some of her inspiring workshops. And to my daughter that's listening, you know, hey, I'm going to be looking for the signs, so you better be ready for them. So, but it was a great – I really enjoyed it. It was very empowering. And I tell you, she's a wonderful woman. So, she's a second-degree black belt fella, so don't try her. Matter of fact, her and her family are second-degree black belts.
She is a powerhouse.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
So next weekend, we're taking it back around to dating and relating. Our topic is going to be equally intense, but on a different level. We're going to be discussing interracial dating. I'm excited about this topic for multiple reasons. Those of you that know me know that I date interracially. I date what wants to date me. But coming from the Northeast, I will say I'm not used to the backlash for interracial dating that I've seen down here. I've never had the issues up north that I deal with down here, and I really want to get rough, rugged, and raw on this particular show. Jay, well, let's just remind the listeners, we actually met on a dating site, so obviously we're interracials, and we had mutual attraction back then, so you clearly date interracially as well. So this
right.
is a really hot topic, especially with everything that's been going on in the past year. We're just going to be hitting the end of Black History Month. Everybody's been flared about, you know, Beyonce's new song, which personally I love, but it seems like everyone has something to say about race. So, men, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it, too.
Yes, we definitely are going to get into interracial dating, and we're going to talk about the good and bad and the stereotypical perceived ugly. So we're going to definitely jump into that. And it's going to be a hot show, a hot topic, and I'm looking forward to the listeners calling in and voicing their opinions. So that's going to be a hot show. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Myself as well. I have really enjoyed tonight. Bron, as always, it's nice to catch up with you every weekend. Good to hear your voice. And I thank you for all that you do. But next week or so, I believe, is back to our regular time slot, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. We'll be back giving you that at Rough, Rugged, and Raw. It's going to be a great show, and I look forward to everybody tuning in for another episode of Bunny and the Bron.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and thank you in advance to our replay listeners. You'll be able to continue to listen on the 94 Network, and we'll also have our YouTube replay up within the next 24 hours. Thank you so much for tuning in to Bunny and the Bron.
Take care now.
Are you a small business? Have you been looking for an inexpensive way to get your message out? Do you believe in supporting the betterment of specific areas of humanity? Bunny and the Bron Talk Radio is a dating and relating talk show that dives deeply into not only human relationship issues, but also brings awareness to important subjects that are a national and sometimes even international crisis. We cover topics such as online dating, positive body image, teen dating violence awareness, interracial dating, and domestic abuse awareness. For as little as $30, you can become a show sponsor. You get a 30-second audio commercial, plus a fully designed graphic for your business to be played during our YouTube replay. You'll be heard and seen many times over for this affordable investment. We also offer a blend of the audio and graphic to be turned into a YouTube link for you to share everywhere you wish. It becomes your commercial to use as needed after the show. To find out more, go to thebunnylife.com and click on Bunny and the Bron Radio Show. Call or email us to find out what sponsorships we still have open.